Hey there, chamber friends. Jay Revel here. Welcome to another episode of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce podcast. My name is Jay Revel. I am one of the co-hosts here with my dear friend, Sarah Solomon. Sarah, how's everything going today?
Another day in the life.
That's right. You know, Chamber of Commerce weather, it's you know, some of the nation's battling a little bit of cold weather, but it's like literally 75 degrees and sunny here, which is what we specialize in Tallahassee at the Chamber of Commerce. We've got a great guest for you here today, folks, a good friend of mine, someone who I think very highly of, someone who's doing a lot of great things in the space of entrepreneurship in our community, a great connector, just an overall stylish individual too.
Oh, stop, Jay.
I'm proud to know him. My good friend Dominic Artis is here with us, folks. He is the founder and CEO of Act House. Dom, what's cooking, man?
Hey, you doing all right?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you with us, man.
I should probably let you do my introductions from now on.
Well, you know, there's a fee for everything.
I appreciate that.
Here.
As long as we keep the 30 minutes, half the hour.
Yeah, we can make you look good, man. That's what we do. You know, we try to be good conveyors of the truth of everything that's going on here in our community, and you've got a lot going on in our community. So we always are talking about different folks we have here in Tallahassee who are doing good things. And I like to consider you one of those people. So
I appreciate it.
Why don't we jump right in?
Yeah.
Act House. Tell us what's an Act House and why should people in the chamber know about
what you're doing? You know, it's so funny. Sometimes when we explain it, there's this misconception of a little bit of Silicon Valley that's on HBO, right?
Where great show.
students are not really students, but young professionals are living in a house to work on a startup, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool. And then there's like, I think his name is Erlen Erkmeyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the show.
Yeah, the crazy guy. So he actually lives with them and like, you know, living with them. And
Ehrlich Bachman.
Ehrlich Bachman. Yeah, that's it. Ehrlich Bachman. Yeah. And he's a hoot.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He really is. So, you know, sometimes we get that misconception because, you know, that's the TV show and it mm-hmm. is what it is. And then sometimes you get like the real world, you know,
yeah.
Comparison and what have you not. And then also too, we're just fun enough to do a documentary with North Florida Community Foundation and the Knight Foundation. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that question is like always coming up. But I like to explain this as plain and simple as this. Act House is a national fellowship program that places students in one house to create one startup in 1 year. It's that basic, right?
That's bumper sticker friendly.
Bumper sticker friendly, right? For all the sound bites, all the social media, it's pretty plain, it's pretty simple. But it's very exciting. I think we get a chance to really focus on addressing some of the issues that we kind of see in startup land and tech around diversity and inclusion with Hispanics and African Americans, while at the same time ensuring that we equip talent to even make it past entry-level positions, mid-level talent, or mid-level management positions in corporate spaces, which is very, very, very important. And so anyways, yeah, man, that's pretty much sums it up in like, one house, 1 year, one startup. So we can just kind of end this podcast right now, you know?
Yeah, well, cut.
I don't know about that.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, we got a lot of time to film it. Tell me, so ambitious idea, ambitious concept.
Yeah.
This is now year what? How have you been working
year
on this? 2.5.
Year 2.5. We just opened up our fall 2019 cohort.
Okay.
Right now we're still at Florida A&M University. And in our new model, which I'll kind of talk about a little bit later, which kind of just enables us to just focus solely on the demographic that we're pursuing. So we may see a FSU, TCC, and FAMU house one day.
Cool.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for it. Bringing our universities to the table is important. And so we have some good, fierce leadership on all three sides. Oh, man, I just got lost with your question, bro.
Oh, well, so tell me the story. How did you get to the point where you were daydreaming one day, this is the idea, right?
So I was at Booz Allen at the time.
That's
I was doing
right,
retail
yeah.
management consulting. And, you know, born and raised in Tallahassee, grown in Tallahassee, I would say. I was born in San Antonio, Texas, from about ages 0 to 7, spent as a military brat just traveling around everywhere. But I was working for Booz Allen Hamilton, and I was in Minneapolis. And I think we had roughly about 3 clients out there, pretty huge Fortune 100 companies. And our schedules were so busy, man. I can't recall like sitting down on a weekend, mm-hmm. like actually getting out and just enjoying it. I probably went to church all the four times that year too. And one of those four times that I went, I finally heard God and it was like, you know, let's do it. But anyways, the pastor was saying that if you can't see clearly like what you need to do ahead of you, go back to the thing that, you know, yeah. that you're supposed to do. And I was just like, Tallahassee? Like at the time, I was like, get the hell out of here, right? I was like, no, I'm not going back. And it's when you grow up here, yeah. it's everybody's kind of like dream to like, hey, let me escape, mm-hmm. right? But oftentimes you don't recognize like how good you actually have it and how you can actually create impact in a city that is welcoming of that impact. So I bought a house in 2015 and I said, if I come back, all right, well, I can do a startup house. And I was like, well, what would I call it? And I was just like, oh, shoot, the ACT House. And the reason why I say, oh, shoot, is because at the time during my startup journey between 2012 and 2014, myself, another innovator in town, Ryan Kapinski, Enrique Morgan, who was my co-founder, my first startup from Atlanta, Georgia, who moved down to Tallahassee, we all kind of recognized we were the ACT model. I was the architect, which is more the business mind. Enrique was the creative, who's more the designer, the brand, or the marketer. And Ryan Kapinski was, he's the techie, the programmer, the doer, the maker. And it just kind
of... Mr. Robot.
Yeah, man, Mr. Robot himself. Matter of fact, the first innovator, I would say, out of the Southeast, and I believe there was only 50 apps on Google Glass when Google Glass first launched, and he was one of them, right?
Wow.
Right out of here, right out of Tallahassee, which is amazing. So anyways, it just hit. I said, ACT House, cool, let's make it. And talked to some mentors and, you know, murder, she wrote from there. So yeah.
So you're in year 2.5. You have students going right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So the three students that are actually in the program now, we have Sydney, who's the architect. Mm-hmm. Maurice is the creative. Freddie's the techie. And what's so exciting is that students apply to the program and it's a kind of a big vetting process. Roughly about four rounds. So one is initial application, then there's us reviewing an application, then sending them a BP10 assessment. We partner with Gallup on that. So it pretty much is Strength Finders for entrepreneurs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Gallup is like the author of Strength Finders. So anyways, they go through that process and then we bring them in for, they meet our criteria there. They come in again for another interview. We look at their work, you know, their product and all that in that regard. And after that, we just select. And so... the program kicks off in June, and it goes till June. But during the summer months, they actually are really working on skill development. Right?
Okay.
There's four areas that we focus on: leadership development, skill development, product development, and business development. And it's a very, very, very exciting process. They grow so much. Our people are stretched to like really think of innovative ways to actually distill and then provide content and information. But it really helps them accelerate their context. More than ever. Oftentimes you'll find with a lot of our student innovators, and we were once there, like all of us in this room, you're like high on ego, but low on context, right? So you're like, yo, I want to like solve waste with restaurants. Right. And then like you have
big
a conversation, exactly, have one conversation, then another conversation. And then you talk to this lobbyist who said, man, I've been trying to break that down for like, you know, the past 5 years in the city, good luck. You talk to a restaurateur who's just like, we can't necessarily do so much about like giving our food away because of the liability that plays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're so low on context that college and, you know, innovative programs like this begin to kind of expand their context. And along with the skill development that's happening, I mean, you're almost set up for a win-win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are the students working on now? Can you give us a little bit of insight on that?
I actually can. It is the month of February, so I actually can. We usually don't say anything until January because that's when they're sprinting. But I'll tell you a little about their journey and how they got to their idea now. So what they're working on now is a company by the name of Gourmet Pup Club. And
say that again?
Gourmet Pup Club. So we've...
Pub or pup?
Pup.
Okay.
Pup.
Okay.
Yeah, not golf. Not
I
golf.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but Gourmet Pup Club.
Very cool.
Very focused on dog treat subscription service. It was a company that we acquired back in August from an innovator who just, hey, don't want to do this anymore, what have you not. Had some good legs and traction. But what we found is that with most of our students, They do a great job of developing ideas, but sometimes they're just so kind of big to figure out in a, like, in a year span, right?
Sure. That's the hard part.
Is definitely the hard part, the execution. And so, anyways, what they've done was kind of provide them this platform. But what they've turned it into is going to be pretty exciting and interesting, where they're going to be leveraging science and DNA to actually help, you know, dog owners better understand how they need to actually feed their dogs. Well, also, too, in the product care space as well. So we'll see what happens. They're in their MVP stage and building this out right now, and so it should be exciting. And my partner Ido and I are working with them pretty much every day, which is pretty cool. But before that, though, they were working on a platform. Cool, man. We'll sign her to be a beta tester for sure. So we wanted to be in the education spaces and really focus in that area first. What's so interesting is that we had them go through their idea, sprint it all the way out. We'll focus on skilling you up, and they'll sprint out their own idea. Really understand, okay, customer development, have interview conversations with customers, check the market, just understand a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. What was so interesting about it is that they came to the realization of their own that, hey, this isn't going to work. And I remember I was out of the office, and I get a text from Ido, who's my co-founder, and Kathy, who's the director of operations. And they said, you won't believe what happened. I said, what? They said, the fellows just came in and said, this idea is not going to work. And they want to reach into the vault and pivot. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's check it out. And I think we went out to eat with the fellows that night. And just to hear their sense of reflection from a leadership standpoint on, you know, them understanding that it was just tough to get over the fact that they had to admit that, hey, this is not going to go forward in the right direction. But when you think about their age, right, you're talking about 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are getting to this realization a lot faster than even some of my counterparts who are, you know, mid-30s and below and still wrestling with, like, the same idea over
Can't
and over.
Can't drag them away from...
Exactly, right? You have to be able to come to that place of truth to just say, hey, this isn't going to cut it. The market's not accepting this, and we need to pivot.
Yeah. I went to the Power Forward speaker series the other day. Kevin O'Leary.
Oh, wow. Entertaining. Yeah, I was out of town for that one. How was that?
It was good. Packed out. He said, after 3 years, if you're not profitable, you need to realize that what you're doing may not be a business. It may just be a hobby.
Yeah. That's very
true.
So
you have to be willing to move on and explore things and be willing to pivot. You know?
Yeah. And it's something that we recently had to, like, you know, talk about, looking at our model and understanding, okay, if we're talking about elite incubation, like, our bet is that, hey, we don't want to look at taking 12 to 16 teams, like, per cohort, right? We want to focus on organizing the human capital talent around product, services, different ideas, and work with that team. And what's interesting is that when we tested that human capital concept at a hackathon, partnered with Apple and Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and this is when I was actually at Domi in 2016, 17, and I think I was Entrepreneur in Residence on the back end at Domi during that time. But the first year they had the hackathon, there was only 20 teams, and two out of the 20 teams had prototypes. When I asked if we could actually implement the ACT model, like, from a human capital standpoint, and they said, yeah, that year, 16 out of 20 teams had prototypes. And last year, 19 out of 20 teams had prototypes.
That's great.
Wow.
So these students are reaching the ability to actually develop a functional MVP, like, working application with code written behind it.
Tell me about what MVP is.
Minimum viable product.
Yeah.
For all
Very
my people
important.
Slow in the startup space. And the business slang. This is what it is.
Yeah.
So, So it was interesting to see, like, that shift and change, and we knew we have something here. But our bet is on quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's on quality. Building quality leaders, building quality companies, companies that actually create jobs. And a year in, and now expanding our program from 3 fellows to 6 fellows. We'll see what happens next. So, yeah, it's exciting.
So you look at each other and go, we're going to need a bigger house.
Yeah, man. We are going to need a bigger house. We're working on that.
So, you know, Dom, you've been around the sort of entrepreneurial ecosystem in Tallahassee now.
Yeah.
handful of years. It's been an exciting time, a lot of changes, a lot of really great companies that have kind of come in and started growing. Give everybody a little bit of snapshot of what the ecosystem looks like from your experience. And I know you also jump around, you get to travel a lot. We were talking earlier about hopping on planes and checking in some other communities. Just
for sure.
So maybe paint folks the picture of how you see the Tallahassee's startup ecosystem here today, and how does that sort of compare to maybe some other cities you visit?
Yeah, man, it's changed a lot. And I'll see the conversation by just really expressing like how one could actually move throughout the ecosystem. I think when we started off, most entrepreneurs or people who wanted to create something like brand new in the city were probably, overlooked in a lot of ways. And one way that happened is, and I can just reflect on my own experiences, when I was first starting my company in 2012-13, and I wanted to sprint on my startup, most people didn't take it serious. Most people were just like, oh, you just don't want to get a job. I was like, look, I have two master's degrees. This isn't the issue about me getting a job. If I'm not going to get anywhere here in Tallahassee, I'm going to get somewhere elsewhere, right? And what's interesting is that the best way to kind of describe it visually is that in that time frame, I had to walk into a room with a suit and a tie, mm-hmm. right? If I wanted to have a serious conversation about business, if I want to have a serious conversation about collaboration, that's how I had to walk in the room, right? Now you do need to know your audience. No fool on that one, right? But 8 to 9 times out of 10, I'm walking in a room with like my standard uniform of like chinos, black t-shirt, and some cool comfortable shoes. Typically, I love the Lunar Grands by Kohan. They're just so freaking comfortable and they're so versatile. Yeah. And so that landscape has changed. The culture has changed drastically. But also what you see from a company standpoint, you see a lot of more companies being formed. You see Domi showing sustainable success in what they've been able to do. You have JMI that's now popped up. Keith Bowers over at SBDC has now moved with his organization to actually do more work in the entrepreneurial space. OEV and the work that Ben and Christina have done over there has been amazing, and now they're leaning into that space. But, I mean, Jay, like I know, it was kind of tough starting off. Mm-hmm. And even when it came down to actually just thinking about a pitch competition and seeding that and getting people to, buy into that idea, it's pretty interesting. But, during my time of running incubation programs at Domi with Lucas Lindsay, shout out to Lucas, who's enjoying all the West Coast weather over there in Phoenix, Arizona. We touched about 22 to 28 companies, and I want to say 3 to 4 end up raising over $100,000 piece. So that's good, right? You see Matt Johnson and his work and what he's doing, what he's still doing now, but starting a fund and organizing other investors to kind of come into the space. And now with the additions of like Scott Balog, who's now in the space and ecosystem development, and my business partner, who's from Tel Aviv, now here in Tallahassee. And if you know anything about Tel Aviv, Israel, the ecosystem is completely different. It's almost like times two of Silicon Valley. And so I think there's a lot more robust and intellectual talent that's in the space. But I think what you'll find is that support organizations like the chamber, like the city, like the county have said, okay, let's create doors and open space for that. And honestly, if it wasn't for people like you all and Sue Dick to even start up the first pitch competition that we had, mm-hmm. that was with the chamber, things would be a little bit different. So yeah,
sure.
It's drastically changed.
Good.
Yeah.
We hear all the time at the chamber, listening to you talk about your story and what you've become in Tallahassee and hearing you talk about the students that are, in the trenches right now. We want them to stay as a chamber and as a business community. We want them to use their talents here in Tallahassee.
Sure.
What do you think the Tallahassee community needs to do next to embrace this season of change of getting more entrepreneurs in our city?
Yeah, I might say one or two tough things. So it's all out of love to my community. I think we have to create pathways,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be very intentional about that. So whether it be apprenticeship programs for college students to actually learn true skills and build true culture with local companies that are here. That's very important. I would say two, I think it's going to take the community as a collective to not look at college students as task fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's very important. And the moment we begin to shift our thinking there and actually invite them into spaces to say, okay, hey, there's some things that you can contribute. There's some things you need to learn. Let's create the perfect environment for you to do that. You'll be great. Most of the companies that I work with, even outside of the city, and talking about talent and how to develop it, one thing I preach heavily is proper placement. You know, stop looking at individuals to fit your job description and start understanding what are their core competencies. Because if you can do that, then you bring in people into your organization that not only can just fill a role, but they can operate in a level of freedom and create new business for you, which is very key.
That's a great observation.
Yeah, man, really it's critical. It's critical. That. It's really critical. And I would say last but not least, one thing that Tallahassee is great at is we're great in education, great in government. We healthcare as well. But let's just kind of take some things we're known for. Education, government, mm-hmm. right? If we just double down in those areas to focus on GovTech, EdTech, and be the leaders of innovation in these spaces, mm-hmm. wow. Like, what could happen, right? What could really shift and change? Austin, like, placing their flag in the ground, wanted to be the social impact or social, I think, capital city of the nation or the world, right? To other people putting their flag in the ground around music. You know, it just happens everywhere in these ecosystems. But if we can just own what we're good at,
yeah,
and stop looking at every other space in the world to say, okay, well, maybe we pull a playbook from them. Let's get some best practices, mm-hmm. for sure. That's very important. But if we can just own what we're great at and yeah. continue to like double down in that area, we'll be fantastic.
Yeah, why not look at how other economic or entrepreneurial ecosystems, what kind of systematic ways are they finding to grow and develop companies mm-hmm. based on their long-held expertise as a community.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And you see some of that here. You know, with I political science background, I happen to kind of come into interaction a lot with some of these great. There's some really technologically oriented companies that do business in and around the world of politics and
yeah.
government that are
yeah.
based here. And I mean, very healthy companies
for sure.
Some great stuff.
Oh, that's believe I know. Yeah.
For more of that type of stuff, to
yeah.
your point. Yeah.
No, I would agree with you. I think also, too, you know, there's one way to, and I think OEV and the city are definitely exploring this and more people having conversations about it. I was just down in South Florida, you know, meeting with the CEO of Emerge Americas and the founding executive director of Venture Cafe. And we were talking about how do we begin to create incentives for our entrepreneurs and policies that really begin to create better pathways for them to create. Right, that they have this welcoming environment for them mm-hmm. to create. And I think we can think strategically about what that looks like. And I think we have to, because one thing that we're seeing is that most of our companies here are homegrown and they're tearing it up. I think Divvy Up was on A50 Magazine just recently.
Yeah.
They're all the rage right now.
So. We went and toured their production facility. I think it was the last day of shipping before that they guaranteed you'd get it before Christmas. This is
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
They were cranking. It was, if you don't know Divvy Up Socks, folks, you should check that out. Hopefully maybe we can get those guys in here on a future podcast.
But yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's a that's
their story
a
definitely
perfect
needs to be
product
heard.
Of, from student entrepreneurs going through our ecosystem at Domi and now, again, interacting with a lot of people who are, working with them, both investing time and money and energy into their company and
yeah,
helping them grow. And it's
yeah.
just, it's exactly the kind of story we want to see more of. And hopefully in the next few years, it's the kind of story that you'll see produced out of the ACT House.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I think we're on a good trajectory. Our first cohort, two of our fellows are actually in Y Combinator's online program, which is pretty good. For those people who don't know who Y Combinator is, it's pretty much the Harvard of, or Stanford of, incubation centers and incubators. So it's pretty awesome. And this cohort, we feel very happy and confident about. But I mean, for us, I think we won't see our truest impact until we reach that place of scale. So hopefully as we've been looking out into other ecosystems and building relationships, roughly in 2020, you'll see an ACT House that's expanded in Tallahassee, one in Durham, one in Atlanta, and one in New Orleans. So only time will tell.
Well, I know from when I have spent some time in Domi in the years past and going through some of the great programs that are offered down there, one of the things that's always preached in these programs is scalability. And what I love about the ACT House concept is that there's an awful lot of college campuses across the country, and everyone could have a program like what you've established. And hopefully one day when you're on the cover of Forbes, talking about this, it'll get some great publicity for our fair community. Dom, and kind of wrapping things up here in closing, people want to learn more about what you're doing in ACT House. Where do we send them to?
Go to act.house, H-O-U-S-E. No, there is no.com, just act.house. You can check us out on social media, on Instagram at The ACT House, and also on Facebook at The ACT House as well. If you all need to reach out to, my email address is dom@act.house. Feel free to ask us any questions. You have any students that are interested, our team will love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff, and always fun to catch up with you, my friend. And
yeah, man.
To help share some of the news of what you're working on with our chamber membership at large. And as always, folks, you can tune in to all of our channels to learn a little bit more about what's going on. Sarah, where do we send folks these days?
Well, you know I'm going to be telling you about talchamber.com. That's talchamber.com. And also catch us on social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And, of course, for all the listeners interested in the ACT House, we will link all of those things below so you can check that out as soon as you can.
And, folks, if you get a chance, go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Leave us a review or a nice little note. Hopefully you think that you're enjoying this listening experience. We sure appreciate your time and appreciate you being a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And stay tuned until we get to do this again. We are having a lot of fun, having great guests like Dom on. And, folks, we'll be talking to you again real soon with another exciting story of something wonderful happening right here in Florida's capital city. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys.